Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I feel like destroying the DMV with a giant robot. And with me, I have...
I'm Alex, the long-lost, relative, twice-removed, of Vine slash Joel.
And...
I'm Mark, and what the hell was I doing?
It's something with this guy. Mark, are we gonna have to pull you into, like, the back office for, like, a meeting? Like, last time?
Sort of guy. Yeah, except last time it involved a bat and a pistol. I don't know why.
Well, because the feds are crawling all over my ass on this shit, man.
What the feds got to do with me?
You know exactly what it has to do with you. You have the fucking baby corp breathing down my neck about this shit. Just because you leaked
what a compelling story, Mark.
Where I was talking shit about them and their crappy movie.
Oh yeah, you watched a bad movie today out of complete choice. Are you regretting that decision yet?
Someone has to have the balls to do it, and clearly you cowards ain't, so it's all up to me, motherfucker. In the words of Faith No More, it's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it.
Yeah, well, we choose what bad entertainment we consume. You chose very poorly.
Yeah, you forgot last week we had to suffer the Fallout Boy, remember?
Yeah, and that gave us some entertaining material now, didn't it? Admit it.
Oh, okay.
So how was the ass slapping?
I'm not thinking any further about this godforsaken movie because I have so many fucking questions about its plot. Just who the fuck wrote this goddamn script for the boss baby? What the fuck even is this story? What even is this universe's understanding of the concept of lactose intolerance?
And this got nominated for an Oscar over A Silent Voice.
And in this corner of the world, hell, even over the Lego Batman movie.
Old white people. Ain't they a blast?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But anyway, how have you guys been doing this past week?
Well, I've been finding some solace in the wake of my sudden unemployment, which that happened last week. Hooray.
No, that's not cheering, no.
Damn, yeah.
So, I've just been enjoying my time watching some of the Olympics coverage, which, since we live in America, we have to suffer with the absolute bottom of the barrel, that is NBC's Olympic coverage.
Ew.
Yeah, they're, not optimal. But, I've managed to catch some of the events. I've discovered how intense curling can be.
Really?
Really. It gets really intense stuff, especially when you're in the fifth round, but whatever. I've also been enjoying some of the hockey stuff, the snowboarding and skiing events, and of course, the primetime figure skating, in which 13 million people here in the U.S. heard Johnny Weir talk about Yuri on Ice.
Man, that is going to sell so many more Blu-rays.
Pretty much.
In fact, you can buy it now at Walmart. Not even kidding. You can buy it at Walmart.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That of all shows at Walmart.
We heard about that from our buddy and Surreal staff member Josh.
Uh-huh. Ooh. Yeah.
Okay, then.
Oh, and I also got my copy last Wednesday, which came really late because I have the slowest, laziest mail people probably in the country.
Yes, we know. We heard you screaming about it last week.
Yeah. Oh, and apparently NBCSN just showed a little bit of Sailor Moon before a performance at the Olympics, like, just now.
Oh, please. Everybody knows that was a Pop Team Epic reference. Nerd.
Clearly.
So anyway, what about you, Mark?
Well, the past week has been, like, last week I got my tax refund, which, yay for me. Although, I used some of that to get my car fixed, because after they said I needed new spark plugs and spark plug wires, so I had to get them fixed and ready. I got family fixing for me for gratis.
Nice.
So I'm guessing your tax return was more than $9.
Yeah, I didn't want to. Well,
aren't you lucky?
Yeah, and also got me a new phone, which I really needed. And I mean, a phone that, you know, that makes calls and does all things a smartphone can, like, as in, I can actually listen to music on my phone now, or watch anime on my phone. I can see why people be distracted by their phones, because I don't know, doing that shit's better than the other motherfuckers.
Cool. Just make sure no one at work catches you watching Devilman Crybaby.
they won't.
Yeah. If anything, watch it in the bathroom.
Oh, damn.
that is a double entendre.
Oh.
Bathroom humor. Anyway, as for me, okay, so this past week, I finally beat Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. What? Well, or at least the main story stuff. According to the map counter, I've only explored less than 20% of everything there is to see, even though I've completed, like, 90 of the shrines and found all the divine beasts. I don't know how many of those goddamn Korok seeds there are. I've only found, like, 30. But yes, quite a fantastic game. Probably the best the series has been since at least Twilight Princess.
So, how would you rank Jim fucking Sterling Son's 7 out of 10 rating of it?
I wouldn't know. I didn't read his review. Am I supposed to be mad about that? I mean, I don't know.
That's why I'm asking you.
I mean, I can live with the fact that other people don't think as highly of the stuff that I might think highly of, because I'm 24 years old and I'm not a high school edgelord. Or a middle school edgelord, for that matter, who doesn't understand the concept of reality. But I'm going on a tangent there. So yeah, really good game. Liked it quite a lot. Also, I went out to the movies and I saw Mazinger Z Infinity. Pretty entertaining for my first proper first-hand taste of Go Nagai that wasn't a Bennett the Sage review. And that's basically about it. Lots of giant robots everywhere. And seriously, the fucking mech designs of that movie are so goddamn cool. Every single of, like, the minor grunt mech enemies and shit in that climax looks like it could be the star of its own entirely separate franchise of, like, giant robot shit. It's just that cool. Also, there was fan service, including robot fan service. Not on, like, Darling in the Franks level of robot fan service, but close enough.
Don't you mean Darling in the Fucks?
That too.
They're fucking in those robots, come on.
I know they are. Like, you're saying it as if there's any ambiguity there.
It's about sex and robots and doggy style.
It's a metaphor for things. But yeah, that's basically about it. And yeah, as we already figured, I fucking watched the goddamn Boss Baby about an hour before we recorded the shit, which... whatever. But now it's time to move on to the fun stuff. The new Sun discussion for this week. And as always, there will be a playlist link down in the description so you can follow along with us if you're curious about any of these songs. We got a little bit less topics this week than last week, but at least this time we actually have some quality here. Stuff of interest. So, starting at the top, the band Rivers of Nihil, one of the bigger up-and-coming bands as far as, like, technical, progressive, death, metal, whatever you want to call it.
I believe the article which had this song listed it as progressive mellow death.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So, they're prepping their next big record, Where Owls Know My Name, due out March 16th. And we have the lead-off single from that album, The Silent Life. Worth noting, I actually did see this band live a few years ago. This is like when they were doing that Death DTA Tours thing. They were one of, like, the opening acts on that. So, yeah, this song is about, like, it definitely goes into a bit of weirder territory than their past material, like, their first couple albums. I mean, you do get a lot of, like, those blast beat heavy drums, the double bass, you know, really heavy on the triggers, steady guitar chugs with those big wall of sound chords, that noodling and the solos and, like, the bass and everything. And then, of course, the weird part kicks in with, like, the melodic ambient bridge, which is complete with a saxophone solo. Yeah. Who doesn't like themselves some sax? Mm-hmm. It makes everything better. And then, yes, of course, you get back into, like, some of the gentier shit, like, in the last couple minutes of the song. I like it. Rivers of Nihil are always a fun band to listen to, so I'm curious to see where they go with this one.
This song got me interested not just in the band, but this upcoming album. There are some really grooving sections in here, and I kind of like that softer middle section. I thought a lot of that stuff worked exceptionally well. It almost sounded kind of jazzy with the soft guitar and bass unison going on there. And yes, that saxophone. It's so good.
It's very saxy sax, if you will.
Yes. I'm all into putting in weird kind of stuff in metal, so yeah, I'm gonna check these guys out when their album drops.
So that's one dank release we got covered for the next month or two, and now let's move on to another dank release.
Literally,
because it's coming out on April 20th. Alex, you have the floor.
Okay, so one of the bands I've been following for a while comes from the UK metal scene, Tesseract, who have had kind of a turbulent couple of years with their singer Daniel Tompkins leaving after the first album and then coming back for their third album, Polaris, which was a bit too contemporary, although I need to listen to it again sometime.
That song Dystopia, though, was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, compared to the stuff on, like, Altered State and especially One with that awesome Concealing Fate suite. Oh, yeah. But Daniel Tompkins has clearly spent a lot of time on his vocal range, which comes off very booming on this track, Luminary, which is going to be the first track and single off their new album, Sonder, out, of course, on April 20th.
Blaze it.
Alongside the new A Perfect Circle album as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that was happening.
Yeah, that's also happening. So, yeah, booming vocals, low-tune, chugging guitars that just punch you in the face, heavy drum accents, all of that in 3 minutes. This whole song has just a powerful presence to it. It makes itself known. It has a very strong atmospheric presence to it as well. And yeah, this was a pretty fun surprise to wake up to on Friday morning, especially after the band had been throwing some teases up on their Twitter account for like the past week. I'm hyped for this, man. It sounds really good. I'm just hoping that it's going to be a stronger outing than Polaris.
You know, it kind of slips my mind because of the directions that Gent has kind of splintered off in during the 2010s. But I keep forgetting mm-hmm. that Tesseract are one of those Gent bands that actually retains the sort of Meshuggah semblance of polyrhythms. Like, when you're listening to this song, the drums are very much feeling like they're pushing against, like, a steady 6-8. But, like, the way the guitar rhythms play out, it feels like it's at a little bit slower of a tempo and possibly a different time signature altogether. This thing, in the pure sense of the term, gents. And, yes, a lot of the melodies and vocals, like, vocal melodies and guitar, you know, melodies and all that, are very elegant and nice and beautiful.
Yes.
But let's move on from the realm of progressive metal here for a second to talk about the past week's entry in, of course, the Adult Swim singles program. Number 43, and oh hey, it's our girl Dawn. Haven't seen you in a while. she seems to pop up a lot, doesn't she?
On here? Yeah, she does.
Yeah, so this past week, she, of course, dropped a new single for the program called Waves. Now, we all know Dawn, her solo career, for a lot of very spacey, trippy, ambient, alternative R&B type stuff. I'll say this is one of the more, I guess, conventionally R&B songs I've heard off of her. Like, obviously, there's those electronic, like, trap drums and everything in the mix. But there's a lot of more conventional, like, natural instrumentation, like with those sort of chopped piano key samples, the background gospel vocals, some guitar solos, and of course those sweet, sweet soulful bass grooves, man. It gets you here in the chest. You it's just it's good. Dawn is always good. Listen to Dawn if you're not already. Dawn.
So yeah, this song. So yeah, listen to this track the first time. Like, oh, I did hear that, you know, that very soulful intro, which is like, it's like we hear from you know some very classic 90s sounding R&B back in the day, and then he should with the trap drums and all that. And I'm looking at the lyrics, although I'm trying to get what they mean, because I'm guessing I got some of the parts like, I'm making money longer, a voice up in your corner. I don't know. I'm gonna confuse if it's about, you know, making your money or that type of shit. Although when I hear order the first verse says, I'm have to come up from off the bench to play my 50-minute stretch, baby. You get me having me up on the sideline. I thought, you know what, fuck it. I'm enjoying this song, so I'm just gonna go with it.
Yep, that sounds like Dawn, all right. But, you know, it's always fun, and I'm sure she'll return in Adult Swim Singles 2018. Well, it's already 2018. You know what I mean.
Or the next time it come, they plan something. Shit.
Yes. Anyway, moving on to the next song, and Mark, you want to take it from here?
Yes, I may. Yes, I will. Now, of course... This is about MF Doom. Now, of course, last year, we all, of course, you heard about, you know, him to contend with those women and all that shit. And now, with 2018 being the year of the hip-hop collabs, because I'm hearing a lot of them coming soon, here's another collab that he's been doing. And no, it's not Ghostface, so let's get that joke over with.
Damn it!
Yeah. It's him pairing up with the hip-hop supergroup, Czarface. Now I know you're wondering, who the fuck is Czarface? It's a super group consisting of Inspector Deck from the Wu-Tang Clan and also my name Esoteric and 7L. I think Esoteric's the rapper, 7L's the producer. Anyway, them and Doom are making an album coming March 30th, titled Czarface Meets Metalface.
Of course.
And they got a new song coming called Nautical Depth, and with Czarface, well, it's off of Amy Madoom. You respect. You got some good bars coming from them, especially from Inspector Deck in the beginning, where it's like, I'm firing the summertime, cooking more and more heat for like DiCaprio, Wolf of All Beats.
Oh,
and then Buff of the Crossfader, Lord Vader to a Kylo Ren. Ha! I mean, sick with a Dark Strange in the Arkham Yard, we go dumber than Trump.
Yeah, there's a lot of references in this thing. A lot of Arkham and Batman, some Star Wars, Nick Fury.
Yep. And the verse from Doom is like, no friendly fight, this ain't wrestling. There's nothing stays over here, you're tripping masculine. Okay. like the thing you expect is you put some crazy bars in, and you get crazy bars in, and great production from them this very, you know, this very hard-hitting beat production you get from them. I'm like, like, I heard Czarface, like, maybe one or two songs to them from the time. Like they made, I think, about one, two, three albums, like, since 2013. I might go rather them, like, before I get to the whole, but yeah, the song's kind of, yeah, I'm liking this song from what I heard. I'm interested in this.
Yeah, and to think, this is the one upcoming Doom project that we actually have a release date for. We still don't have anything for that West Side Doom album, and we're still waiting on Doom Storks.
Yeah, most people still waiting for the next Madvillain project, which may not happen, I don't know.
Here's the thing, we were not explicitly promised new Madvillain, as far as I know. But these three are. True. We're told these things are happening, so come on, man, deliver the goods. Anyway, moving on to 90s rock figures coming back to the modern day, we have yet another new single from the reunited Riot Girl act L7, appropriately titled I Came Back to Bitch. Isn't that, like, the most perfect statement of purpose you've ever heard in your life? Yeah, so, first off, this song needs more cowbell. It needs way more cowbell. There isn't enough of it. I have a fever, and the only prescription is making outdated Saturday Night Live references.
Well, it started with making dated Saturday Night Live references now, isn't it?
I don't see the difference. But anyway, so this is about what you would expect from L7. Like, it's a pretty, you know, no frills, no surprises song. It's very appropriately gruff in its production, the guitar tones, and of course the grating vocal performances. There is one part that kind of ticks me off. It's this little bit where the drums kind of switch to something that sounds suspiciously programmed. It's kind of like you notice it, but it's not so prominent that it's, like, in your face. But you still notice it there. It's like, why are you there? Why?
I noticed it.
It's like when someone changes the thermostat by 2 degrees. It may not seem significant, but your dad notices. But, I mean, it's fine. That's fine. It's not a huge deal breaker. But something that does kind of bug me about the song is that for a song titled I Came Back to Bitch, it doesn't seem angry enough at anything specific. Like, the most angered line that's, like, not the chorus is, you're not a rock star, but you're looking at one, because I'm the big dog, you're simply the bone. And it's like, okay, is there anything, are you gonna get more vicious than that, though? Like, I mean, your last single was all about fucking, like, bombing Mar-a-Lago or something, so, like, I mean, I guess if this is, like, an opening track for, like, a reunion album, I could see it. But, like, we don't have any news on that yet, so we just have to take this on its own.
Well, this is a punk song, and, I got nothing else to say other than that. This didn't do anything for me. I'm sorry.
Anyway, moving on to the next song here. And again, Alex may take over.
Okay, so, the guitarist from Eddie Trunk's favorite band, UFO, Michael Schenker, is here with a track from his upcoming solo album. And let me just pull that up here because I don't know the name off the top of my head.
Resurrection.
Yes, new Resurrection, which will be coming out soon? I have to click all these links.
Pre-orders. It's going up March 2nd, apparently.
Another March release. How about that? Okay. So, this album will have many guitar guests on it, such as Wayne Findlay and Michael Vachon. And on this first song we've heard from this album, Heart and Soul, it features Metallica's Kirk Hammett. Now, this song is a solid 80s-style metal track. It's something that you would expect to hear probably towards the end of the whole glam rock scene where things start to get heavier. Think, like, Painkiller-era Judas Priest. That's what I thought of, anyway. And there is some quality solo work here from both Schenker and Hammett, trading off in two sections of the song, the middle and toward the outro. It's a good little guitar-heavy track if you like your metal a little bit aged, kind of like a fine brandy. So yeah, we're checking out.
Yeah, now this is an example of a song that does literally fucking nothing for me, like, oh boy, oh. This sounds like thrash, all right. The song structure is as predictable as fucking anything else in, like, the realm of, like, no-frills thrash metal. The production is kind of flat and standard-sounding. Like, the guitars are buzzy, but there's barely any, like, impact or anything, and the drums are fucking, like, everything just sounds all thuddy as hell. Like, just, I don't know. This is why I don't bother with thrash anymore. It's like, it's such, like, a caveman style of music. I'm more sophisticated than that. It's like, pretty much the only good thing in here is the solos. But other than that, it's just, like, lame and just whatever.
If you can't tell, we had to stretch this out to fill time.
Clearly, we did. Anyway, moving on to the next song over here. Okay, fucking Tetsuya Nomura, I am goddamn sick of waiting, and I'm not gonna wait until fucking E3. You give us a release date for Kingdom Hearts 3 right the fuck now, or God help me, I'm going to break into that room that you've been trapped in, and I'm going to force you to watch The Boss Baby. Damn. Sorry, I have been waiting for this since middle school. Like, I am very on edge here. And I just can't wait anymore. It's like, I keep seeing all the footage, and it's like, I could be playing this, but it's not in my hands right now. But, yeah. In case you're wondering, we did, in fact, get at the recent D23 Expo in... That's in Japan, right?
This one was in Japan, yes.
Right. So, at the D23 Expo in Japan, new footage of Kingdom Hearts 3 showcasing Monsters, Inc., in which the final boss is dealing with the slug lady that keeps telling Mike Wazowski to finish the paperwork. I assume so, at least. But one interesting bit of info that came out of it was a snippet of what the game's theme song is going to be. Of course, from our dear old friend Utada Hikaru. So, obviously this is only like a minute 30 seconds out of like a 2-minute sort of song trailer thing. But we do know the song will be called Don't Think Twice, and we can at least give a little like sneak preview of it. So it's kind of this really like moody, low-key, swinging... It's like a 3-4 tempo that swings with this main piano beat and this kind of like low-key drum rhythm. To be honest, kind of listening to this thing, I got a really major vibe of like Calm Suser Todd, to be perfectly honest.
Mm-hmm. Except I heard that too.
Except for the part where no one is exploding into Tang. Although, and I'll admit, I'd say this full well knowing that, again, this is only a minute and 30 seconds of music. It doesn't really grab you right away. And look, to be fair, I admit this is probably because people like us, like our age, have had enough time to internalize Simple and Clean and Sanctuary just to the point where we can, like, recite the entire thing from memory. And the song doesn't feel as, like, I guess instantly over the top in or grandiose in a sense as a Kingdom Hearts theme should be. But, I mean, this is the end of a saga, so I guess having this kind of moodier tone is appropriate because it's the end. Although I do feel kind of bad because this has to follow up on friggin' Sanctuary, which I have no problem admitting is one of my favorite songs ever. But, so, I mean, that's kind of where I'm coming from here. So any other thoughts, fellow weeaboos?
Well, Morutada is always a welcome treat, and come on, Square Enix, for fuck's sake, just put this game out! That way the rest of us can... finally sleep. I don't even play Kingdom Hearts, and I want this game to come out.
I mean, how long is this the last game of Kingdom
Hearts? It's been 12 years.
Oh shit.
12 years of various handheld spin-offs and stuff.
Oh yeah. That's a lot of spin-offs.
Now, all neatly compiled onto the PS4 in the form of Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5 HD Remix, now available on the PlayStation 4 computer entertainment system.
Which I own, and I've only played a couple hours of because I'm terrible at time management.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's because you're terrible at Kingdom Hearts. Oh!
Well, I'm terrible at Kingdom Hearts as well, but that's for a different reason.
Still terrible at Kingdom Hearts, noob.
Fuck you, Rob.
Hey, don't hate me just because I'm good at video games that you aren't. But anyway, moving on to the last song of the week, this one literally breaking, like, this afternoon. So, those two fellas that make up The Body, they seem to be rather consistently busy fellows. You know, with their various collab projects and solo records. Like, hell, just these past couple years alone, they had their big 2016 album, No One Deserves Happiness. Then their 2017 collaborative album with Full of Hell, which was a kick-ass record, followed up another collaborative thing the two of them had done that same year as No One Deserves Happiness. But The Body are back at it again on their own. They have announced their latest album, titled I Have Fought Against It, But I Can't Any Longer, which is a metal-as-fuck title, coming out May 11th. And so we have the first single, Nothing Stirs. Now, I think I said it before that I run kind of mixed on this band, but between their Adult Swim single from, you know, a few years back and this song, I think their sound is finally clicking for me, or at the very least they're getting better at mixing their elements of, like, electronic noise and doom metal. This thing starts off right away with, like, these heavy bursts of electronic kick drum, with these kind of very howling, ethereal, droning guitars in the mix. And then once the super screechy vocals kick in, like, a minute 30 seconds in, then the actual, like, low-end, like, guitar or bass possibly kick in just to, like, accentuate the droning atmosphere. And then to offer a unique contrast, at about 2 minutes in, there's actually the voice of a woman who I'm blanking on the name at the moment because I'm not looking at the article. But, yeah, that definitely adds, like, kind of different dimension to it as you're just listening to the creepiness of like a clean vocals, you know, paired up against this kind of electronic doom thing, you know, before it eventually devolves into unintelligible screeching and some light symphonic elements towards the back half of the end. I'm actually kind of interested to see where they go with this. I'm actively looking forward to this.
I'd say more, but it didn't really elicit too strong of a reaction from me. I probably might have to go back to it again because I don't know, just didn't quite click with me.
And I suppose that's basically about it for the song discussion. So thanks for listening to that part. We're gonna go on a quick break, and when we come back, we have a few news topics to discuss, so stay tuned, children. And we're back. Unfortunately, our first couple of news articles here are downers. Well, really the first half of these news parts are downers. Starting right at the top, might as well get right into it. Unfortunately, this past week saw the tragic passing of film composer Johan Johansson. A big name in film composing in the past decade or so. You might have heard his name mentioned a lot recently as he was... he worked frequently with director Velis Villeneuve. You know, the director of Sicario, Arrival. Hell, he won like Oscar for his work on Sicario and a Golden Globe, Golden Globe nomination for Arrival. He was even set to score Blade Runner 2049, but unfortunately, that didn't pan out. As of the time of recording this, unfortunately, the cause of death is unknown. Though, if it was something that was kind of like, I guess, building up in, like, the time between, I guess, the past year or so and now, I guess that's probably why he didn't get to do Blade Runner, maybe?
Probably.
I mean, unless they, like, scrapped his stuff there or something, like, still, damn.
I'm looking here. Most recently, some of the work he did was with Darren Aronofsky for the film Mother, and it looks like his last work is going to be the films The Mercy and Mandy.
Huh, Nicolas Cage horror film, eh?
Okay.
That's gonna be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, as someone who really liked Arrival and his work on the score, this sucks. No other way to say it, this sucks, man. Only 48, too. Damn. You will be missed, sir. Best wishes go out to your surviving loved ones. And now, moving on to the next story here. Not a musician who's dead, but one who's suffering serious health problems that interfere with their performance abilities. Obviously sucks when that happens, like when Bruce Dickinson had tongue cancer. And in this case, we're Glenn Tipton, one of the guitarists from Judas Priest, like one half of like the legendary Judas Priest guitar part people alongside KK Downing or Richard Faulkner. He is unfortunately suffering from Parkinson's disease, which is interfering with his ability to play to the point where he unfortunately has to back down from touring, which is, they have a tour, I think, coming up sometime this year, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. With a new album as well.
Yeah, that's right, Firepower. That comes out March. Damn.
Another March album release. Jeez, loaded month.
Yes, indeed. So, it's worth noting that in his place will be Andy Snap. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. a founding member of a band called Sabbath, who's also an engineer and producer, apparently rather prominent within the metal world, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. He's worked with bands such as, looking here, Opeth, Exodus, Arch Enemy, Nevermore, Testament, Cataclysm.
That's a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, damn, like, Jesus fuck. Like, we're really hitting the point where so many rock legends, like, really can't play because of bad health issues. This has me very concerned. Like, obviously, it's not because of, like, oh no, I won't get to see the proper lineup. It's just the general well-being of, like, guys who made their career doing music that won't be able to do it anymore. It's like, that's all their life is, like, ever known. And you're just kind of like, shit, now what?
Yeah, it's happening more and more often as the months go by. You know, before it was we were hearing all this stuff about artists dying. Now we're hearing artists and bands saying they're not going to tour anymore. They're going to hang it up. They're going to do their farewell tours. Just slow down at least. At least slow down a little bit, please.
God damn. Anyway, moving on to the next story, and Alex, you said during the break you'd take care of this one, so go right on ahead.
Okay, so allow me to unleash my inner Nash and give this headline, What the Fuck is Wrong with You, style. Metallica's James Hetfield joins Ted Bundy thriller Extremely Wicked.
That does sound extremely wicked. Tell me more.
Good impression. So, yes, Metallica's frontman, James Hetfield, will be starring in a film regarding one of the most evil human beings ever, Ted Bundy, entitled Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile. Quoting Variety, the film, which is currently in production, centers on the relationship between Bundy, played by Zac Efron, and his longtime girlfriend, played by Lily Collins, who at the time had no knowledge of the crimes. Hetfield will be playing Officer Bob Hayward, a no-nonsense Utah Highway Patrol veteran who was the first law enforcement officer to arrest Bundy in 1975 after pulling the killer over and discovering burglary tools in his car, but wisely suspecting much worse. It marks Hetfield's first dramatic role in a movie playing someone other than himself. This will be directed by Joe Berlinger, who previously worked on a little film called Some Kind of Monster.
Oh yeah, I think I heard about that one. That was about a band or something. What band was it? Oh yeah, Megadeth.
I like that movie. I don't care what anyone says. So this is going to be interesting. Mr. Hetfield in a dramatic role regarding one of the most evil psychopathic killers in history.
Still, I guess it's, I'm not, the weird thing is I'm not focused on the Hetfield thing because I'm not sure how major of a role that's going to be depending on how they write it. I'm more interested, like, wow, Zac Efron, man, to think he went from High School Musical to raunchy comedies to playing a serial killer.
Well, didn't you see The Disaster Artist? He played Chris R perfectly.
Wait, he was in that?
Yeah.
Huh.
That was Zac Efron.
Well, goddamn.
I bet you couldn't even tell.
And I guess he is a good fit for playing a suspiciously handsome man who murders people and fucks their dead bodies. Or was that Ed Gein?
Yes.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of serial killers out there.
Yeah. So this movie, as I said, is in production, so there isn't any release date given out yet. Not really sure about who will be releasing it. All I know is that the producers will be Voltage Pictures and Coda Entertainment. So I have no idea if this is going to be a theatrical thing or video on demand or Netflix or whatever.
And apparently also for Afron's production company, Ninjas Running Wild Productions.
Okay. Sure. I guess Zac Efron is going to be an executive producer on this, so I guess he was really interested in making a movie about Ted Bundy, of all people. But hey, you know. Oh, and I should also mention, this movie apparently has a pretty wild cast involving John Malkovich, Haley Joel Osment and Jim Parsons.
Oh, why? Please tell
me. These people are going to be playing against so much type, it's not even going to be funny.
Please tell me Jim Parsons is the first one to die on camera. Please.
We can only hope.
Okay, you know, to be fair, I mean, I saw The Big Bang Theory. He's actually a decent actor. It's just that his most famous role is being a obnoxious nerd.
Being a bad autism stereotype.
Pretty much that, yeah.
Making the rest of us look bad.
Damn right. But let's move on to our last story here. So, during the new song discussions, we of course mentioned L7, a staple of 90s rock music for apathetic teenagers. And now, we're talking about another staple of 90s rock music for apathetic teenagers, the Smashing Pumpkins. So, there's been long rumored things, there's been rumors flying around for the past couple weeks, after a picture leaked of Mr. William Patrick, your name is Billy, get over it, Corgan, taking band photos with, of all people, Jimmy Chamberlain and James Iha, perhaps implying some kind of reunion thing. Also, reports are swirling of a new Smashing Pumpkins album produced by Rick Rubin, of course.
Uh-oh.
Get ready for that shit to clip through your speakers. And now there's a countdown clock and a mailing list sign up on their official website. According to what I could pull up, apparently that countdown basically finishes at like Thursday morning. And they've also launched a promotion involving an ice cream truck, which apparently has some relation to the music video for the song Today from Siamese Dream. You know, that classic. And apparently there's even a picture on, like, their Instagram that also recreates the Siamese Dream album cover. So this could be either a new album, an anniversary tour of some kind for Siamese Dream, perhaps both. But, yeah, I'm not sure who would really want this. But then again, we are talking about the same guy who spent a year of his life in financial disputes regarding his purchase of a wrestling entertainment division. So is it like Billy Corgan really makes smart choices with his life?
Well, I mean, he's managed to find time to pull this off while maintaining ownership of the National Wrestling Alliance, which, yes, that did go through.
Damn. Good luck with that. But noticeably in all this, there's been another wrinkle to this whole thing. Namely, in case you didn't catch it, we actually left out a member of that classic founding lineup, and that is, of course, founding bassist Darcy Retzky. So, apparently, at least according to Retzky's version of the story, Billy Corgan apparently invited her to play into the reunion, but then he apparently rescinded the offer that she was apparently in communication with him. According to him, it was just going to be him and, like, one of the other members, like, not even all the members, and they were just going to do a song or two with Rick Rubin, but apparently he was being, like, a disingenuous, manipulative fuck. There's also been a statement, like, literally breaking, like, I literally pulled this up as we were recording the first half of this podcast, a statement from the band claiming that apparently they actually did try to get Darcy Retzky together in on this thing, but apparently she, you know, denied or deferred the invitation at every possible moment. You know, they worded in a way that's trying to keep it all very professional, but you could tell that Billy Corgan just wants to complain about how, like, she's releasing chemicals in the water that are turning the frogs gay or something like that. It's like, wow, the countdown hasn't even hit zero yet, and this thing is already, shit's hitting the fan.
Why are you so crazy? Why are you so crazy, Corgan?
Why are you cray-cray?
I do not know. Just, it's like, why? It's like, I'm not even really sure who the audience for this would be, like. It's just, I think, well, everybody just wants to be content with their memories of those classic Smashing Pumpkins records without a reunion lineup coming in to mess it all up.
Clearly, they're tapping into the 90s nostalgia market that has bought up Super Nintendo classics left and right. I don't know what the connection is, but hey, whatever.
Yeah. But whatever this thing counts down to. And in fact, how much you want to bet it's going to be something super underwhelming, like a fucking, like, deluxe vinyl reissue of Siamese Dream?
Well, it's not out of the realm of possibility. In fact, it's actually very probable.
Yeah, remember when there was that My Chemical Romance countdown, and it turns out all it was building to was a deluxe reissue of fucking The Black Parade?
The bonus stuff wasn't all that good, I'm sorry.
What'd you just say?
The bonus stuff from that wasn't all that good, I'm sorry.
Oh, good, the bonus stuff. I would be very upset if you said the whole album.
No, I love that album, it's just the bonus stuff wasn't overly exciting.
Yeah, that sounds about right, and that kind of sounds like something the Smashing Pumpkins would do at this point. Late stage Billy Corgan and whatnot. Heh.
Heh.
But that just about covers that news story. We'll update you once the countdown actually, you know, counts down to whatever it is. So, with all the news topics out of the way, all we really have to take care of is the new album releases for February 16th, 2018. And if the new song discussion gave us some plentiful good material, this week's new releases are kind of a wash. So, starting from the top, we have a new album from Escape the Fate titled I Am Human. A new album from metalcore act The Plot in You with Dispose. Coming out on the 14th, actually, we have a new album from Japanese metal act Bandmade with World Domination. Okay. If you need something to fill in the gap while you're waiting for new baby metal. we have a new album from Angra. That's interesting, called Omni. There's the newest album from emo act Pianos Become the Teeth with Wait for Love. Apparently, I Set to Kill are still a thing. I wasn't aware of that. They're dropping a new self-titled album this Friday. We have a new album from For the Fallen Dreams with Six. The newest Census Fail record, If There Is a Light, It Will Find You. A new self-titled record from Pop Evil.
How are they still around? Holy crap.
Tyga is dropping Kyoto this Friday. Good luck appealing to the furry demographic. And the one beacon of sunshine in this massive pile of blah, Dabrai with his big comeback record 3/3.
Yay, I'm looking forward to that one.
Or if you want to be accurate, 1. Because that's how fractions work. Oh, isn't that right, Ron Mahaff?
Yeah. I'm gonna say it. Black Panther coming out this Friday. I can finally say it.
The movie, yeah,
the movie.
So now that takes care of that. So let's clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Or of Azure on the media that are kind of social, where I will probably talk about random shit that comes to my mind at any given hour of the day or night. Because that's just who I am.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, Matt to Hobby Media on Twitter and Curious Cat, and on my site, The Mind of Hobby One, at thehobbyone.wordpress.com. My next review to come out is March Comes Like a Lion Season 1. Spoiler, I fucking love it!
Okay, we will keep that in mind. As for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram and various other places, Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Be sure to email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, if you have questions, comments, concerns, and offers, and all that good stuff. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up, you know, whenever I put it up. I've been slacking these past couple weeks. On the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution, which you can find by, you know, searching Surreal Resolution, subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always notified whenever new episodes of the podcast go up. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @SurrealReso, like us on Facebook, see us on Twitch where things happen like once in a blue moon. And be sure to follow us on the official website, www.surrealresolution.com, and decibelboost.surrealresolution.com for the backlog of this podcast. Be sure to listen to our other great podcasts, including Podcast O&A, which I hear has a new episode out.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly another one coming this weekend, I hear?
Yes.
Be sure to keep up with all of our great written content. I'll actually have a review of the new Dabrai. They sometimes pronounce it Dabrai. But yeah, the new 3/3. I'll have that reviewed by Friday, the latest, hopefully. So keep an eye out for that. Be sure to jump into our Discord if you ever want to dink it up with the members of the site. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you. Wow, fucking burp, you know, when I'm on a roll here, damn it. Anyway, thank you for tuning into the podcast this week. Be sure to join us next week for a very special milestone. And until next time, fuck you, boss baby.